if you were going to host something at your home for, say, 15 to 20 people, now that's a lot, but it's doable. When would you start preparing? An hour or so before they get there? Or would you not start days ahead? Think of an even bigger event. Months might be needed. It occurred to me that we're about to come into an even year, 2016. So there are going to be Olympics somewhere, probably, I guess, of the winter variety this year. Do you suppose that they have started yet preparing for that? Oh, they started way back when, didn't they? Whenever they were named. Well, this morning we're going to look at another part of the Christmas story to see how God's preparations make having peace in life possible. So my title is Of Preparations and Peace. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Very familiar story. We've gotten a bit of a preview of it. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Preparations and peace. Peace comes out of the preparations that the Lord has put into place. God is the source of peace. The preparations that God had put into place really began back at the beginning of our story, back in Genesis chapter 3. After man chose to go against what God had said, Adam had believed the first biggest lie, that you can be like God, that you can decide what's right and wrong. And so the preparations for the redemption of mankind began back then. As his story unfolded, Bethlehem becomes the birthplace of two kings. The first was David. The second was Jesus. The Lord's preparation allowed for some time and space between Jesus in Bethlehem and Herod there in Jerusalem. The arrival of the wise men, if I make the slip of saying three, it's because we believe that there are three because of the three gifts, but there could have been a dozen. But the wise men come, and they come to Jerusalem first, and they stop to speak to Herod. Well, they first hit the temple, probably, and they begin asking around, where is he who is born King of the Jews? Well, they had come from the east. They had come from probably the area of Iraq or Iran, Persia. And that was a long way. And so they had come into Jerusalem seeking where this one who was to be born King of the Jews. They had probably heard of this coming Messiah from all the exiles who had been sent there. Think back to the story of Daniel. He was one of the first to go. And some of those people no doubt stayed. Jeremiah had said, you know, build houses, get married, give your kids in marriage, settle down, make good for the area that you live in, the town that you live in. And no doubt some of them had stayed. And through the years, the people around them began to hear of this coming Messiah, because the Jewish people knew that God had not forgotten them. And so they had come from the east. And so here they are, this group of men, three or a dozen, who had combined astronomy and astrology. And they knew that something big had happened. And they began to research it and study it, and they put the pieces together. And they knew that the Lord had put everything, all the preparations, into place. I came across this story a long time ago, and it's one of my favorites about preparation. It's a story of a couple who owned a farm and were constantly hiring young men to help them work the land. When they interviewed one young man, they said, "Why should we hire you?" And he said, "I can sleep at night." Didn't know exactly what to make of that. But they liked the young man, so they hired him. Well, it wasn't very much longer after he had been working around the farm that they had to go somewhere all day. And they got home after dark and just fell into bed exhausted. Well, it wasn't very long then that a storm blew in and the thunder and the lightning woke them up. And they began to scurry around. They went upstairs because they were fearing hail coming. And they found the shutters to the windows closed and everything just like it ought to be. Well, they went out to the barn to see about the equipment and the animals, and all the animals were in their stalls and everything was taken care of. They had plenty of food and plenty of water, and all the equipment was put up and all the doors were closed. And they realized what the young man meant about being able to sleep at night, because he took care of preparing for anything of all the stuff that he had responsibility for. Can you not trust the Lord this morning for the preparations that he has put into your life? We are to live every day in every way for God's glory. And he will see to it that the preparations are in place for your life to glorify him in all the days to come. Some of it you'll be able to look back in your life and see it. Very seldom can we look ahead, if ever, can we look ahead and see God's preparations. But we trust them, that God is preparing whatever preparations need to be made, that he is putting them into place for us to be able to live out our lives to honor him and glorify him. Preparations and peace. Peace comes out of the preparations the Lord has put into place for protection. God is the source of peace. As these three wise men, the dozen wise men traveled, they came to Jerusalem. They were headed from north to south. And so they come to Jerusalem, where Herod was. They did that for, I think, a couple reasons. One was logistical, because Jerusalem is north of Bethlehem. But they probably did it as well because of protocol, because that was what they needed to do. They needed to go see the king. Well, Herod was an interesting man. He was born into a political family. He proved himself valuable to Rome. And so the Roman Senate named Herod King of the Jews. But a puppet was all he was. As long as he kept everything under control by whatever means he needed to use, Rome thought he was doing a good job, and so that's why he stayed. So when the wise men come and began asking around, where is the one born king of the Jews? Well, that got his attention. Because he knew that he wasn't born king of the Jews. He was just named king of the Jews. And so here they are. They're in Jerusalem. Joseph, Mary, and the baby are in Bethlehem. Herod also revealed a bit of his ignorance. Herod was probably Jewish, at least partially, but he didn't know Micah chapter 5, where Micah had prophesied that the child, the coming Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And so that time and space allowed for that separation. It was 5 to 10 miles southwest of Jerusalem, so that was a good day's journey away. And so they were able to go without Herod. And so after then seeing the baby, the wise men were told in a dream not to return to Herod. They were told to go a different way. The Lord was doing everything. And also we pick up on the part of the story where Joseph has a dream as well. And an angel appears to Joseph as well, and he says, Joseph, go to Egypt. And so the baby was protected there in that way. I didn't look the song up. I remember it. Amy Grant used to sing a song a long time ago of a title, I don't know what at this point. But I remember this line, a reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. There have been countless times in my life, in our lives, probably more than I know about, where something along that line came to be very true in our lives, where God protected us. Watching college football, and I don't know why Clemson had to wait until the last 2 minutes of the game last night to prove that they could beat the University of North Carolina, because I had to stay up and watch all of it, because without me, they couldn't have done it. Of course, we think that. But I remember sitting at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas one Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, maybe, and there was a college football game on. And El Paso, Texas was catching it at that point. Ice and snow and all this stuff. And I remember thinking, you know, storms generally travel southwest to northeast. And the couple days after that, we, you know, have Christmas with the family and everything's big and we start home on ice and snow. Well, somewhere in eastern Kansas, the station wagon that we drove at that time, carrying the five of us, on a two-lane highway, all I remember was is that we went down a bit of a hill, and then the car started going like this. And stopped in the middle of the road. Now, why didn't it go into this ditch or that ditch? I don't know. But I tell you, I believe that the Lord protects us if we're going to live to honor Him and glorify Him. So God's plans will not be thwarted, whether on a global scale or on a personal scale. When you listen to the news and reports about this shooting or that shooting and this bombing and that bombing happens, how do you respond? Do you start wringing your hands? Oh, it's as bad as it's ever been. Who's to say? And I do want to say, you know, I've thought about this as I prepared for today. And it makes me pause to think about if I was in San Bernardino, California, or where was the last big school shooting of the college? Somewhere up in Oregon? would I walk out of the sanctuary thinking, nothing will ever happen to me? All I know is that if I live my life to honor Christ, if I live my life to glorify Him, whether I die today because of a bullet or I die when I'm 95, God will do what's best for His glory. But I can tell you right now that I believe that God will protect us as long as He wants us, our lives, to bring Him glory. Would you count it a privilege this morning to die for the name of Christ? You say, oh, that'll never happen. One Wednesday night, taking the kids home, some of the boys got into a discussion about it. Oh, you know, and they were, you know, as 13, 14-year-old boys do. Well, I think we saw proven with this most recent incident that it probably won't be New York City or some of those places. It'll be some of the smaller places. Now, San Bernardino, California, I'm sure is not that little. But would I count it a privilege to die for the name of Christ? I do believe that God has, His preparations has put into place protection. Peace comes then out of the preparations the Lord has put into place for provision. The Lord has prepared. The Lord has prepared for our protection, and He's also prepared for our provision. God is the source of peace. When the Magi began asking about Jesus, they asked, where is this one born King of the Jews? And finding out from the priests and the scribes where the rightful king was to be born, Herod secretly meets with those men about where the star, when the star appeared. He said he wanted to go and worship Jesus as well. And so the star then continued to provide direction for the wise men. Look, if you go out tonight or come over to the house tonight and it's clear sky, I might be able to point out to you the Big Dipper. And I might be able to point out a couple things, but I don't understand how in the world these men could understand, but they could. They could. They had direction. And so the star continued to provide direction. And Matthew chapter 2 there says that they went to the house. So no doubt Mary and Joseph had spent a good amount of time there in Bethlehem. I wonder if they were able to pay their credit card bill online. Or I wonder if they were able to go to the ATM and withdraw some cash. Joseph had probably gone to work. Maybe it was a week, maybe it was two. But they're in a little bit better situation, and all of a sudden a knock comes on the door, and here's this group of men. And they said, we've come to worship. And we brought these things, and now gold, frankincense, and myrrh was not, you didn't buy those things at the dollar store, let me put it to you that way. They were valuable. It was about that time that Joseph had a dream. Go to Egypt. And oh, by the way, all that gold, frankincense, and myrrh, if you need to sell any of it to provide, God had put that already into place. The Bible has many stories of how the Lord provided. One was in 1 Kings 17 where Elijah is told to go to a city where a widow will take care of him. He has just pronounced the drought, the 7 years drought that will be on the land. When he gets there, he's told that there'll be a lady to take care of him. And when he gets to the city gate, there she is. She's a widow, and He asked for some water and he asked for some bread. And she said, well, I've got a little water, but I've got just enough bread. I'm going to go home and make it. And my son and I are going to eat and we're going to die. This is kind of our going away meal. And he said, no. Make me some bread. The oil will not run out. The flour will not be exhausted. And verse 16 says, the bowl did and the jar did exactly that. This morning, as you think about it, has the Lord not provided for you? As we think about Christmas, we think about the greatest provision is a way to come back into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But He's also provided our every earthly need. Sometimes we get needs and wants confused, and so it becomes an issue of stewardship. But we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the fact that the God who can prepare, the God who can protect, the God who can provide has come after us. There were three groups of people and three different responses to the birth of the Savior in this passage. One was Herod. Herod was troubled. The second group were the chief priests and the scribes, and they didn't seem to care. They were indifferent. It was only the Gentile wise men who were ready to worship. Which of those three do you fall into this day? Troubled, don't care, or ready to worship the God who provides, the God who prepares, and makes possible peace.